Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected.
So today, the message is entitled, Our Shepherd in the Valley. I would like to invite everyone to please stand and let us read the entire Psalm 23 again. I hope you already memorized verses 1 to 3. As we will not be showing these verses on the screen. Okay? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you so much for your grace, mercy, and love. Indeed, Lord, you are our good shepherd, O Lord God. And we humbly ask before you right now, O God, to fill this place with your presence, Lord. And speak to us, O God, that you, the word, O God, will speak to us boldly and clearly into our hearts, O God. And Lord, we pray, O God, that you anoint me as well, O God, that every word, O God, you cover me. That every word will speak, O God, in your glory alone, Father God. So thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have your seats. One of the reasons this psalm has captured the hearts and minds of people for centuries is because it invites us in both the valleys, the joys, and the pains of life. It is very relatable. And very comforting to us. Diba? So far in verses 1 to 3, we have looked into the good and bright parts in the life of a sheep under the faithful care of the shepherd. Basically, David has been saying, my shepherd is good. He leads me my life. He leads my life. He provides all I need. So I'm satisfied. I am happy. He makes me rest in Him. I long to be with Him, to be near Him. When I wander, my shepherd hunts me down, puts me in his shoulders, and brings me back home. It is in verse 4 that we start to see the darker side of the sheep's life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We can notice there is a sudden shift, no? From the path of righteousness to the valley of the shadow of death. Scholar says that that Psalm 23 was written by David in his old age, and he captured his true-to-life experiences in this real psalm, in this great psalm. So when he suddenly shifts in the darker mood in verse 4, he captured the reality of how we find ourselves on the green pastures one day and in the valley low the next moment. We just scratch our head. What just happened? I still remember so well how I was enjoying, you know, working on a top company in the U.S., I was in the height of fulfilling my American dream. I was in the green pastures. Then one day, out of the blue, the company guard approached me in my office and he told me to pack up my things within an hour because I was laid off along with all the other consultants. As in, there was no advance notice. That was in 2001, a few moments, no, or a few months after the 9/11 disaster. I think we're all familiar about that. when the U.S. was suffering a major economic recession, I was really so devastated because just like that, my American dream was gone. It seems surreal, like in the movies, but it was my reality at that time. Most probably, David was also recalling the times in his life when things suddenly turned for the worse. Like when he suddenly found himself evacuating the palace and escaping towards wilderness because his son Absalom led a coup d'etat against him. Or when he's suddenly running away from King Saul and live a fugitive for many years in the wilderness. Although verse 4 is one of the most quoted verse because of its wide use, especially during funerals. But David, no? David was not in his deathbed, not referring to death when he wrote this psalm. So the phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, is possibly not the most accurate translation. The Hebrew word translated as shadow of death is salmawet, which just means darkness or dark shadows. Actually, some translations simply use darkest valley, like in NIV and NLT, which both say, even though I walk through the darkest valley. So the darkest valley is not a symbol of death per se, but it represents any difficult experience of life that makes us afraid. It refers to the lowest and hardest that any person will go through in life. Like my sudden job loss, no? Or bankruptcy, terminal illness, broken marriage, loss of loved one, abuse, addiction, conflict, and near-death situations. So what was the most painful tragedy that happened to you? Most of us can recall more than one point of our lives that we consider our darkest times. Darkest times are part of life's journey, just as part of ship's journey. The insights we can gather from verse 4 will address these dark times. And today, I'll be sharing just two encouragements and two applications. Let's dive now into the encouragements. First, in the valley, our shepherd has made us safe and secure. Second, our shepherd comforts us. The first encouragement is that our shepherd has made us safe and secure. What makes Israel's narrow valley are the shadows of its surrounding mountains. It only gets sunlight a couple of hours, no? When the sun is directly above. Otherwise, the valley engulfed by the shadows for the rest of the day, making it a frightening place for the sheep. But if you really think about it, what's the big deal about shadows? They're just harmless, right? Charles Spurgeon said, "Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us." Likewise, for us sheep, whose shepherd is Jesus, every evil and darkness that life throws at us are all just shadows. They have no real teeth and cannot really harm us. Last week, my wife told me about the recent YouTube interview of Joy Mendoza. I think, nakakita siguro mo, no? A pastor's kid who was raped by 7 robbers when she was 15. Joy recalled clinging on to the Psalm 23 in her mind while she was being assaulted. And this thought just came upon her, that those men can do bad things only to her body, but they cannot destroy her soul. And by God's grace, this gave her a sense of peace right there and then, even when she was still being raped. We cannot deny that sometimes during our darkest times, our bodies will suffer and get wounded. Our hearts get broken and crushed, and the pain can be unbearable. The fear can be overwhelming. However, when we look at it with the perspective of eternity, they don't really do any harm to our souls. Because Jesus' death and resurrection has secured our souls for eternity. This is what Jesus taught us in Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who can destroy both body and soul? It's God alone, diba? And he is our shepherd, not our destroyer. He is for us and not against us. We are really safe and secure because the only one who can destroy our souls loves our souls and even died to redeem our soul. Therefore, there is really nothing in this world that can seriously harm us, not even the ultimate darkness of death. Listen to what Romans 14, verse 8 says. If you live, it's to honor the Lord. And if you die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Amen? Death in its substance has been removed by our good shepherd, and only the harmless shadow of it remains. Our good shepherd has made our darkest valley a safe place for us to pass through. We are safe and secure as we go through in dark times. Jesus has made us safe and secure. Isn't that a great encouragement for us? Amen? And there's one more. Our shepherd comforts us. That's our second encouragement. The last portion of verse 4 says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here we see three ways the shepherd comforts us in the valley: through his presence, his rod, and his staff. First, through his presence. David's picture here, our good shepherd, is not the know-it-all, although he is, but as the presence in it all. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20 says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." And the author of Hebrews tells us that God has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Lord, our shepherd, is always with us. Wherever we are always under his faithful care and protective guidance. Notice how the personal pronoun changes from he to you. In verses 2 to 3, no? He makes me, he leads me, he restores. David is speaking about the shepherd. And now in verse 4, no? He becomes you. Notice that? No? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, no? David is now speaking to the shepherd. The crisis of life draw us closer to God, di ba? We are more prone to talk about God when we are in the green pasture, and more prone to cry out to God when we enter the valley. In the dark valley, remember, God is closest. God is most present. God is most available. Our shepherd is not only ahead us, leading the way, but also beside us, calming our fears. Just like how the little girl out at sea in the storm is not frightened like all the other passengers in the vessel, but she sleeps calmly on her mother's chest because it is enough for her that her mother is with her. And it should be enough for us, children of God, to know that our Father is with us always, especially in the storms of life. Remember, He is Emmanuel, God with us always. Amen? And with His presence, our shepherd comforts us in the valley. The second way the shepherd comforts us is by His rod. What comes to your mind with the word rod? Discipline? Spare the rod, spoil the child, right? We rarely think of the rod as a tool for comfort, but that is what David is saying here. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is a short but thick, no? Like this one, with a smooth rounded head on one end, looks like a small club. Kung sa Tagalog siguro, no? Pinote or palakol. Kung sa police, batuta. Di ba? And it's kept in the shepherd's belt. It is an instrument of protection, both the shepherd and his sheep. The skilled shepherd uses his rod to disable attacking predators like the coyotes, wolves, snakes, or stray dogs. In his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, Philip Keller recounts his experience in Kenya while photographing elephants. He was accompanied by a Maasai herder who always carried a club in his hand. While on top of a hill, they could see a herd, no, of the elephants in a thick bush below. So to drive them into the open, para mabungkal sila, they look for a big rock to roll down the hillside. But as they push a really big rock, a cobra, no, underneath suddenly poised to attack them. In a split second, the alert Maasai boy struck the snake with his club and killed it on the spot. That is much like the rod of the shepherd's hand, ever alert and ready to protect. The rod is also used to correct any wayward sheep, no? Badlungon magaling sheep, that insists on wandering away from the flock. The shepherd throws the rod to the sheep, not to hit, but to call down, no? To call its attention because it has strayed, or that danger is close by and it needs to come back to the flock. Whether they are in danger of attackers or by their own foolish ways, the sheep can count on the shepherd's rod to protect and correct them. For us Christians, the thing that we can count on again and again to counter the attacks of enemies and correct us like the shepherd's rod is the Word of God. We need God's Word to counter worldly and unbiblical teachings that attack our faith and make us confused. We need God's Word to equip us to cope with difficulties and temptations of being part of a world that opposes all that Christ taught. Remember, our good shepherd himself uses God's word to counter the lies and temptations of Satan. Our good shepherd also uses God's word to correct and rebuke us when we stray away from the right path. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says, "All scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Jesus uses the power of his word to change our hearts and minds and admonish us to go back to the right path. We know how essential God's word is to our spiritual growth. That is why we are to meditate it day and night and be serious in doing what it says. Let us be thankful that our local shepherd, no, Pastor Nick, is very serious in encouraging us to go deeper into God's Word. He has taken the pains to prepare materials for us, the sermon, so lisod yung gahin mo on, the devos, no? The small group notes for our daily and weekly consumption. Pastor Nick has done his part as our pastor, and we really appreciate you for that, Pastor Nick. And God has also done his part, no? He has made his word very accessible to us anytime and anywhere. What about us? What are we doing? Are we doing our part? I really hope we are, because we need it, not just to survive, but also to thrive in our valleys. Don't miss the great assurances and comfort for us to claim through the power of God's word. Aside from the rod, the shepherd also uses his iconic staff to comfort his sheep. The staff is longer, no, and thinner than the rod. It is a familiar hook that we easily recognize when we think about a shepherd. The shepherd's staff is uniquely designed with the needs of the sheep in mind, and it is used solely for the care of the sheep. It's not effective for other animals, no, hindi na siya pwede sa uban, like cattle or horses or pigs. And the straight end is primarily used, no, to guide the sheep gently into new path or through some gates or along dangerous or difficult routes. He gently puts his staff against the animal's side and pressure to go the way the shepherd wants to go. Also, sometimes the shepherd will hold his staff beside a favorite sheep, no? Yana? Simply to stay in touch with it, and as though they were holding hands. The hook, no? The hook on the other end of the staff was typically used to pull the sheep, no, from danger, like the edge or a cliff or river, or when it's going for a poisonous plant, or to free a sheep when it got stuck in a thick or thorny bushes. Being stubborn creatures, sheep often get into the most ridiculous and frustrating dilemmas. Greedy for one more mouthful of green grass, a sheep can climb to a cliff where it can slip and fall, and only the shepherd's staff could lift them back up to safety. Before he left this world, Jesus explicitly told us that he would send us a guide who would lead us into all truth. He is the Holy Spirit, and he is our shepherd's staff. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit graciously takes God's word and makes it plain to our hearts and minds for our divine guidance. Like a shepherd's staff, he gently but persistently prompts us, this is the way, walk in it. And as we obey him, we sense his guidance, his peace and comfort. And just as the shepherd uses the staff to stay, no, in touch with the sheep, we are in touch with Jesus. Diba? Our shepherd through the Holy Spirit. He makes us aware that we are God's children and he is our Father. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We got a sense of belonging and being under his care and the object of his special affection. And when we fall, we get entrapped and cannot get ourselves out, our good shepherd comes and tenderly delivers us out of our dilemma by his Spirit. In John 14:26 says, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is the great comforter himself. But the comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. And what's more, our great comforter, our Holy Spirit, dwells in us. No? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us. So his comfort is always available to us. Amen? So indeed, our good shepherd has us covered on all sides as we walk through our dark times. He doesn't just make us safe and secure by disarming the powers of darkness. He also comforts us with his presence and with his rod, which is his word, and with his staff, which is the Holy Spirit. Because of his total encompassing comfort for us, we're able to do what we need to do when we are in our darkest valley. And there are two things mentioned in this verse that the sheep would do, should do, no? First, to walk through the valley. Second, to fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. These are our two applications. First, we are to walk through the valley. The sheep only walks through the valley. They do not stay in the valley because it's not their home. They do not even linger because it's not their destination also. The dark valley is really just a passageway to get to the higher grounds of the mountain meadows, where there is still some green grass left during the hot summer days. No, magigislana, no? For us, to walk through means that when we come upon a problem, a trial, a time of darkness, we are to persevere through it. We are to keep following the shepherd's voice. We are to keep trusting him to protect and keep us safe. We are to keep abiding in him and relying on his strength and comfort for us. It is an important reminder for us because when trial comes, we go on the auto mode of relying on ourselves while setting God aside. We scramble looking our resources left and right to solve the problem, asking, what can I do? Who can lend me the money? Where can I get that instant solution? How much time do I have? But this is not the picture of perseverance our shepherd has in mind. It's not about when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Our perseverance should be seen in our drawing near and staying close to our shepherd. No matter how much we are tempted to act according to how we feel, no? Like David in our daily Psalms reading, we turn our eyes to God and keep reminding ourselves that he is in charge. We seek him and keep going back to him whenever we have questions, doubts, petitions, pain, and tears that we need to cry, that need to be cried, no? We also keep meditating on his word for encouragement and instructions. And we keep our hearts attuned to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as we wait for the Lord's perfect timing. Our perseverance includes restraining ourselves from acting upon every open door without taking the time to consult the Lord. We are to take one step at a time as He guides us. Perseverance is the key to accomplish God's purposes in our dark times, which is first our Christ-likeness or spiritual maturity, and ultimately for the honor and glory of the Lord, our Shepherd. Let's be reminded of James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen? The Lord uses our trials to mature and complete us. So, let us persevere. And that is our first application. The second application is to fear no evil. Remember the shadows? And how the evil and darkness cannot harm us anymore? It is only because Jesus Christ has secured our souls by absorbing God's wrath on our sins, by dying to pay the consequence of our sins, and by rising back to life, He conquered sin and death for us. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus did all that so that we can truly declare with David, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Amen? Our Shepherd has conquered the ultimate evil of sin and death for us. He has made us safe and secure even in the valley. What do we do with that? How are we to respond? Our response, our job, is then to conquer our fears. And the key to overcoming fear is total and complete trust in God. Trusting God is a refusal to give in to fear. It is a turning to God even in the darkest time and trusting Him to make things right according to His will. David exhorts us also in Psalm 56, verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Let me share my recent testimony in the valley. As I was preparing this message last week, I received an email from my office that I was scheduled for COVID vaccination on Wednesday afternoon. I already decided beforehand to get the vaccine once my turn comes. I didn't expect it to come on the week when I will be preaching. Knowing that I might suffer from flu symptoms, I took precautions, no? Boosted my immune system, took antihistamine before I got the vaccine. I was fine that night, but the next day, the symptoms kicked in. I could not do anything for the next 2 days but rest. By Friday afternoon, I was getting quite worried about this preaching. So I messaged Pastor Nick that I don't think I can do this. But that night, as my headache got better, I was able to reflect that I was actually in the valley myself. And as I prayed, this very message rebuked me of my fears and comforted me. God graciously reminded me that because He gave me this assignment, He will take care of me and give me His message. Because He allowed me to be vaccinated and have the symptoms, He will heal me in time to prepare for today. And He did. And I testified that we can really trust, totally trust our God, our good shepherd. And as long as we are following Him, obeying Him, trusting Him, and desiring His glory, He will never fail us. He will accomplish His purposes through us, and we will get the privilege to experience special care in the valley. So how do we respond to our good shepherd who protects and comforts us in the valley? First, we walk through and persevere. And second, we do not fear, but trust Him. No one is exempted from going through the dark times in life. The duration and intensity may vary, but Jesus promised that in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Indeed, the valley of darkness may be inevitable, but just as inevitable is the presence of God actively involved in our life. He has made us safe and secure for eternity, and He comforts us through His presence, His Word, and His Holy Spirit. So let us persevere and not fear, but trust our good shepherd. Thank you.